स्पाइस रेडियो और रेडियो रिमझिम सुन रहे हैं आप. गपशप का प्रोग्राम है. एवरी वेडनेसडे हमने रॉयल कोलंबियन हॉस्पिटल को दे रखा है. 9:30 से लेकर 10 बजे तक हमारी बातचीत रॉयल कोलंबियन हॉस्पिटल के कुछ डॉक्टर्स के साथ होती है, जिसमें कि हम बात कर सकते हैं उनसे हमारे अपनी कम्युनिटी में जो इश्यूज हैं. और रॉयल कोलंबियन हॉस्पिटल जो कि एक ऐसा अस्पताल है जो कि पूरे ब्रिटिश कोलंबिया में उन सब लोगों की देखभाल करता है जो कि बॉस्टन बार से बर्न भी तक रहते हैं. सो अगर आप इन इलाकों के अंदर रहते हैं तो ये अस्पताल आपकी सेवा करता है. तो आज हमारे प्रोग्राम में इस अस्पताल के एक डॉक्टर आए हुए हैं. डॉक्टर रॉबर्ट शार्प इनका नाम है और क्रिटिकल केयर फिजिशियन है, मेडिकल डायरेक्टर है रॉयल कोलंबियन हॉस्पिटल के कार्डियक सर्जरी इंटेंसिव केयर यूनिट के. तो आइए इनके साथ बात करते हैं. और अगर आपके पास कोई सवाल है तो 604-280-1200 हमारा टेलीफोन नंबर है, या 604-299-8863 हमारे नंबर है. अगर आपके पास कोई सवाल हो और आप पूछना चाहते हो तो बड़े शौक से आप फोन कर सकते हैं. इट्स टाइम फॉर अस टू मीट डॉक्टर रॉबर्ट शार्प. यू आर मोस्ट वेलकम इन आवर स्टूडियोज. हाउ आर यू डूइंग?
आई एम वेल, थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर हैविंग मी.
Now with that voice, you should be a broadcaster.
That's very kind.
So, Dr. Sharp, tell us something about yourself. Why did you want to be a doctor?
I think it's the usual kind of thing. I wanted to help people. I didn't actually start out going the direction that I did. I started in a completely different route, in the surgical route, and decided that critical care was more the way for me.
So, the difference between surgical route and critical care.
So in critical care medicine, basically we see a large variety of people. I do both the main side critical care as well as cardiac ICU. We deal with effectively the sickest of the sick. Many of them have come through surgery, many have not. In the cardiac intensive care unit or the cardiac critical care unit, we see about 950 cases who have gone through cardiac surgery to repair whatever their cardiac lesion happens to be.
Right.
But we see a very large number as well who have come through the cardiac catheterization and have gone a non-surgical route. Some people can be managed non-surgically, some people actually need the surgery in order to fix whatever their problem is.
So when you say critical care, is it of the people who are at the borderline of maybe they live, maybe they won't?
You are exactly correct. That's exactly it. It's not 50-50 in everybody. Sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's a little bit better, but it is the sickest of the sick.
Wow. So isn't it a stressful job?
It is. It very much, I guess it is, insofar as you have people's loved ones in your hands. You have people who, you know, their wives, their mothers, their husbands, their sons, and you want to do the best for them that you can. But I also find it a very exciting job. It's an opportunity to help.
Mm-hmm. And when you moved from the surgical part to the critical care, you had an advantage because you could see what surgery they've gone through and how they are responding to treatment.
Yes, I do love the critical care aspect of it. Our surgeons are phenomenal, especially at the Royal Columbian Hospital. Our cardiac surgeons in particular do a magnificent job. They're all very good people. They're personable people. They interact beautifully with the patients and with their families and things like that. And perhaps most importantly, they do an excellent job at the surgery itself.
Mm-hmm. So, as a child, were you? I mean, you said that you wanted to be a doctor because you wanted to help. Was there any encouragement from home, mom, dad?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yes.
are they in the same profession?
No, my father is a dentist, and my mother used to assist him, and they never forced me to do anything. They said whatever I wanted to do. If I wanted to be a professional, that was phenomenal, but I should be happy in whatever I chose, and I chose this, and they were over the moon, and so, yeah.
Our South Asian community, and you know, we're bringing awareness through our programming for our community to realize that there is this hospital that is taking care of them. I personally have a connection with this hospital. My mother was there. My younger brother just 3-4 years ago, had cardiac surgery, had four blocked arteries. We've had employees from our station that has gone there. So we see that through our own communities, lack of looking after their own health, you know, Royal Columbian Hospital becomes the place, you know, where we would probably end up one day for care. So preventive measures is something that is also very important so that there isn't a burden on the hospitals.
Absolutely.
So there are a lot of programs that the hospital is engaged in. But before we talk about that, I wanted to talk about why does the South Asian community, why is the South Asian community predisposed to diabetes and cardiac problems?
Well, I'm afraid to say that there are certainly certain risk factors that are preventable, as you've mentioned. But sadly, there are many risk factors which cannot be prevented, and it's just a matter of genetics. There are certain genetic predispositions toward diabetes and toward cardiac disease itself. Certainly, if you engage in some behaviors that put you at higher risk, such as smoking or the consumption of excessive alcohol or things along those lines, that just increases your risk dramatically, exponentially thereafter, because mm-hmm. you've already got the underlying genetic predisposition. And not everyone is predisposed to that, but certainly if you know that you have somebody within your family who has a history of cardiac disease, you need to be more careful.
Mm-hmm. And as far as preventive measures are concerned, what can a community that has got a huge, and I know last year when we were talking to RCH, I was blown away when I was told that, you know, the South Asian community would be probably number one as far as diabetes is concerned.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's in terms of what you can do to prevent, it is the usual sort of motherhood statements, but sometimes people don't pay attention to those, and sometimes saying it again helps, and it is just you need to take care of yourself. You need to do diet, proper diet, and exercise, lots of regular exercise, and that doesn't have to be insanely strenuous exercise. Even just walking for 40 minutes a day can do a world of good for you, but watching your diet, watching your exercise, not smoking, not drinking to excess, all of those things can help. Once you are diagnosed with diabetes, if you are diagnosed with diabetes, because again, there is a certain genetic predisposition to that, it's not a death sentence. You can take very good care of yourself, and many people can get away with diet control of that and keep it at bay mm-hmm. without having to worry about heart disease thereafter.
In your particular profession, you probably meet many people that worry you, many people that bring a smile on your face when you look after them. Are there incidences like that sort of brighten your day, or you worry about that for a long period of time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I worry about all my patients until they've left and have left the hospital and come back and visit us again and say, thank you very much for taking care. Until you've left in good condition, I worry about you. So, and absolutely, my day is brightened anytime somebody comes back to visit us and say thank you and show that they're doing well and that they're active again in the community. And so, yes.
If you have a question.
Yeah, I was wondering when it comes to the hospital's cardiac care, what does that look like?
So, when it comes to, the critical care aspect of cardiac is the far end of it. Far before you get to that point, you'll have gone through a number of different processes, assuming you didn't come in a critical state to start with. So if you were found to just have certain risk factors or certain predisposing things for cardiac disease, you'll probably see one of our cardiologists on an outpatient basis.
Okay.
They may run some tests on you to see whether or not you are at higher risk of having coronary artery disease. For example, what we call an exercise tolerance test, where basically basically we get you to walk on a treadmill and we look at the electrical function of your heart to see if there are any disturbances there. More advanced things such as injecting some radioactive dyes into the bloodstream and looking at what your blood vessels look like there. If we see that you do have coronary artery disease, then you'll be referred on to either go to our cardiac catheterization lab to actually have an image of your arteries done, and thereafter you may have to go and see a cardiac surgeon to look at having those vessels revascularized or bypassed, as it were.
I was blown away when I went to one of your cath labs and found out, catheterization labs, found out that without opening up a person, procedures can take place which would save a person's life if they are having a heart attack or have had an episode which probably damaged their heart a little bit. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. There are a number of... It's not for everyone, no. I should point out, but there are a number of ways in which we can revascularize the heart or reopen some of the blocked blood vessels without actually having to subject a person to surgery. In some circumstances, that's the best way to go.
Yes.
It's the least invasive way to go. But again, it's not for everybody. Some people have sufficient damage to their heart that they do indeed need to go through surgical manipulation as well.
Before we take a break, I'm going to ask you a very silly question. Have doctors ever left any instruments in a person while they are operating?
I would like to plead the fifth on that one. It has happened. I cannot recall it happening at our institution, has happened, yes.
I saw a documentary on that.
Yes.
And it was just scary.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. Anyway, we'll come back to Dr. Robert Sharp right after this short break.